This year's legislative session ended with lawmakers appropriating $100 million to cool 1,000 classrooms by the end of the year. Now it appears the anticipation of a more educationally friendly climate will be delayed. This week came the announcement that the bids for all the work came in over budget, and the reopening of the bid process won't happen until later this year or perhaps next year. That has one lawmaker steamed. Representative Matt Lopresti is asking the state's AG to look into whether there was gouging. Moreover, he's looking for volunteers and businesses of goodwill to make the project happen with a realistic timeline and at a reasonable cost. Matt Lopresti joins us now by phone. Good morning.
Good morning.
This has been such a long anticipated project that for this to come out now, as we're in summer and not even yet the heat of the summer, is very disappointing to many. But did you have any inkling that these bids were coming in over budget before the announcement was made?
No, not at all. I think everybody had anticipated with the estimates from industry ranging between 20,000 and 40,000 that's precisely what we were going to be getting. However, as reported throughout the media, they came in 4 to 5 times higher than that.
At this point, with these huge bids and with, you know, people wondering why, you are also asking that question whether, you know, people just saw that there would be a lot of money to be made potentially. But isn't this also being affected by the fact that we have a bit of a construction boom happening?
Well, to some extent, Beth Ann, but the disturbing thing with the price jump is we are the third hottest construction market in the country. We are that now, and we were that a couple months ago when this bill was passed and signed into law and when we got the estimate. So that hasn't changed. Even if you listen to the industry experts like PRP, they even talk about, you know, the labor costs, these should be stable. The equipment costs, these are stable. And yet we see these dramatic increases in the bids. And we need to get to the bottom as to why and wherefore those increases.
Have you had some of those conversations with industry? Have you asked them directly why?
Yes, I've spoken with contractors and some of the leaders in the industry. And we're going to be having a meeting to try to get to the bottom of what's going on from their perspective. And at the same time, I'm reaching out with the DOE to find out if there's perhaps simplifications of specs that might be able to be made. Perhaps there's something in the bid or in the RFPs that's driving up the costs that weren't considered.
Were you able to see the RFPs before they went out?
No, ma'am.
So some of the conversation has been that they're very long, they're lengthy, they're difficult to wade through. Have you seen them since?
I'm trying to get my hands on some of them, and like I said, I've spoken with contractors, and I've heard from some that they're upwards of 100 pages, the DOE saying, no, they're not that long, and it's not unusual, the kind of things we've put in. So we're getting very mixed messages from both sides.
And not a lot of clarity.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, and not a lot of clarity to be able to understand why the process might be so fraught, and also why the costs were so expanded from what you expected.
Yeah, not yet, but it's just at the beginning by asking the Attorney General to look in if there is collusion, if there is an attempt to price gouge and to profiteer off the suffering of our children, that's completely unacceptable. If that's happening, the Attorney General needs to look into it and prosecute to the fullest extent of the law. If, however, it's some government incompetence or something that government's doing that's not aware of, that's prohibiting industry from stepping up to where we thought they should step up, then we need to fix that too. Maybe it's a combination of the both. Maybe there's something else that we're missing altogether.
Has the AG given you any response to your request, even candidly?
I can't speak for them. I have spoken with them, and I've corresponded with the Attorney General himself, and they will be. I can't speak for them. It's not my place to speak for them.
So you have no assessment of whether they're willing to take this up and to look into this?
I believe they are. I believe they're willing to look into whether or not there's any wrongdoing. But again, I can't speak to how they might do that or anything. You'd have to ask them.
And do you have any sense of timeline when they might be willing to talk to you about this?
I know we're going to be in constant contact. I mean, I'm going to be in constant contact with the Attorney General, industry, and the DOE, because we need strong leadership to try to help bring everybody to the table. You know, part of the job of legislators isn't just writing laws, but trying to facilitate problem solving between desperate parties. And that's the role that I'm trying to play.
Some would say that could have been avoided if perhaps you'd been able to see this beforehand, or if there could have been agreement about how this was going to be put out there. But then again, with the mixed messages, there's, as I say, a lot of misty areas in this. Meanwhile, as you're trying to ferret all of this out, the project is not going to be able to move forward as it was originally anticipated, leaving a lot of kids in a lot of really hot classrooms for a lot longer.
Yeah, and that's the really upsetting and unacceptable part. But we also need to keep in mind that the delay isn't as long as some are reporting. It's for the next fiscal year, which is next month. Those bids are going to go out again, and they should come in shortly thereafter. So it seems at most this might be delayed a few months, not a whole year.
No, not a whole year, but if the,
but,
if the
but
bids go out,
the hottest part of the year,
right?
They wanted to get them in before that. Yes.
So with some of those bids going out in July, some of the classrooms that may see cooling a little later on this year, what are you doing in terms of your call for, you know, people of goodwill and volunteers and businesses to come forth to try to mitigate this even short term? Have you had any response to that?
Yeah, that's exactly the perfect lead into that, because we can't wait. We can't just wait for reasonable bids, and because the delay in the bidding process to hopefully get reasonable ones, we need people in the community to step up if they have the ability and competence to install split AC or PVAC units, whether they're individuals or they're a contractor willing to donate some of their time to begin to get some of these in before the really hot months come around when the kids are going to be in the classroom. So we're putting the call out, started yesterday, to ask anybody of ability to step up, and they can contact my office at 586-6080 or the Department of Education at 586-3452, the Auxiliary Services Branch, and be happy to get them in a classroom installing this stuff. You know, typically it takes two people one day to install many of these things,
so,
which is really mystifying when you look at some of the bids that talk $100,000.
So
that doesn't add up.
We've got to go in just a second, but Representative Matt Lopresti, did anybody take you up on that offer, and did your phone ring with someone saying, yes, I'd be willing to step up? Have you heard from anybody yet?
Well, like I said, we just put this out yesterday, and it's beginning of the next day. Not that I know of, but we're hoping to get a lot of phone calls. I've certainly been getting a lot of phone calls from people in the industry and the DOE, hopefully we'll get some phone calls from some volunteers as well.
We wish you lots of good luck with that. Thanks very much for making time for us this morning.
Thank you for covering this important issue.
Matt Lopresti represents several EVA communities in District 41.
Support for The Conversation comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk show programming. Mahalo to contributors Noheya Gallery, Kaiser Permanente, and Hastings and Pleadwell, a communication company.
Today in the Backyard Quiz, we asked you to name four of the 10 shark species commonly seen around the coastal waters of Hawaii. Sharks' importance to the ocean is often overlooked. Fear of their presence has led to a disregard for their importance in protecting the importance of protecting shark populations. As an apex predator, sharks are responsible for keeping the marine ecosystem in balance. They remove sick, weak, and old members of fish population, help to keep schools healthy and strong. They even help prevent overgrazing of seagrass. Hawaii's home to dozens of shark species, but only 10 are a common sight. They are Galapagos, White Tip Reef, Black Tip Reef, Gray Reef, Black Reef, Tiger, Sandbar, Scalloped Hammerhead, Smooth Hammerhead, and Big Nose Sharks.
And Andrew Johnston called in from Kalaheo and could name four of that list that you just gave. So he is our winner for today. Thanks very much for calling and playing the Backyard Quiz. Now, if you've got a question for us, we're always hungry for good quizzes. Send it in to talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org, and you just might hear it on a future show.